friends.
Hello and welcome back to the Create Podcast. If you've been here with us before, and welcome if it's your first time. For those of you that know of Create but maybe don't know what it stands for, Create stands for Community Reclaiming Every Artist's True Expression, because we want to be a stand in this community that every artist gets to rise. As Michael Beckwith says, the high tide rises all the boats, and that your unique individual expression and gifts are here as you are here to be birthed onto the planet. And as community, we want to be a stand for that.
And I am really excited about today's podcast because I'm introducing a friend that I have had for 20 years. Yes, 20 years.
You ladies are not old enough to say that.
I don't think so either. We look very beautiful, Stephanie. So Stephanie Anderson is the original Sister Chantel from the original production of Bear, a pop opera. Many of you know her. You have listened to her voice on the soundtrack. This is the woman who first told Peter about the nature of love and his worthiness. And I got the honor of directing Stephanie Anderson in that production. And it's a production that changed both of our lives. And over the years, it's just been kind of a miracle to get to talk about what that was, because I think we didn't know what it was when we were going through it. we didn't know what that thing was that occurred to our lives, and then how it's gone on to affect so many people all over the world. If you don't know Bear, go look it up. There's now been over 500 productions of the musical worldwide.
Wow.
Yeah. And Stephanie has a podcast called Broadway Babies. Am I getting it right, Stephanie?
Correct. Yeah. Broadway Babies.
And she had asked me to be on the podcast. I did one episode with her and we talked so much that we were like, we need to do a part two. But when, but when we went in to go do part two, it was the week the riots broke. And we got on a Zoom to do part two, and there was just so many feelings. And Stephanie spoke from her heart in a way that was so passionate and so beautiful. And it was such an honor to get to hear her story that we invited her to come share in this place. And her story is so powerful. And the truth of it, I felt it cut through everything in my body. And it just felt like this story is a gift to everyone who gets to listen, because it's a universal story. So Stephanie, thank you for being here. And
thank you for inviting me.
We're happy to have you.
And Stephanie also invited her beautiful fur babies to the party. So if you hear that wonderful sound, you're welcome.
Yeah, they're my joy at this time. You know, it seems like, especially now, that there's so much going on, like layer upon layer upon layer of different things that are going on. Like, you have to find the simple joys. Like, if you can just find one thing in your life that brings you some joy, just latch onto that and embrace it and feel it and just let it take you. So my dogs are my joy. I mean, I do have a human child, and he's my joy too, but they really kind of give me a sense of peace, because they don't ask for anything. You know, they just are. They love me for who I am. Like, all of my insecurities, all of my faults. They're like, I don't care. I just love you. So that to me is a blessing. So I just keep that in mind. So I always try to have them, well, not like they're not around, but they're, as a matter of fact, they are. So that's one of the things that I've been trying to embrace during this time. I mean, it's one of those times in history where I can't even believe that I'm living it. You know, I'm actually here in the now, but I also have a gut feeling that it's going to be profound changes across the board, not just for Black Lives Matter, because they absolutely do. That's a fact. It's not a linchpin or a liftoff or any kind of argument. We matter, period. I mean, that's it. But I think a lot of things are going to change, like within the LGBTQ community. I mean, with the change that just happened yesterday with the Supreme Court, that just blew my mind. But that is a beautiful thing. So All these new, and I'm trying to find joy in all of this in spite of what's going on. And when I spoke with Kristen last week or the week before, I can't remember, everything was so raw. So, I mean, it's still kind of touch and go, but it's not as bad as it wasn't for me. It wasn't as hard hitting as it was. I mean, it's not hard hitting now as it was then. There are still moments where I have to pull back and say, okay, time for a little self-care. Don't worry about the rest of this. It'll be there. You just have to come back to you. My story is not, shouldn't say it's not unique. It's just, I move through this space as an artist, and it took me a long time to actually claim that, in that I would say, well, my side gig is, I perform, but my real job is XYZ. And I've learned to claim that artistry. Now, within the industry, there are certain ways that people view me when they first see me that don't exactly jibe with who I am, per se. But when you're so used to putting on a mask, and I talked about this before, prior to the protests going on, and when the protests started happening, and people started to talk, to really talk about what's going on, coming from a Black woman's perspective in a day-to-day, I would have to, once I got up in the morning, put on a mask. What can I do to make sure that I don't come off intimidating? How can I come off not as an angry Black woman? How can I come off without people feeling some sort of negative way when they see me walking down the street? How can I change how I speak? How can I change what I wear? How do I fix my hair so that there aren't any problems with that? I mean, there was so much going on. Just trying to get out the door to do what I needed to do during the day. And it's not just me, there are numerous stories stories of people who have actually really started to talk about those things and how it affects you. Once again, moving through this space as a human being, not just as a human being, but a Black person, a person of color. And the sad part about that to me was it just became normal. It was normal. And I would go to auditions you could see it in the faces sometimes of the people that were at the table, like, oh, here we go. So I'm not exactly svelte. I mean, I'm not a thin girl. I'm big boned and beautiful, but whatever. So that was another trope that I had to move through. When I opened my mouth, crappy things like, oh, you sound, what is the phrase? You're so articulate. That's,
whoa.
Or, oh, as a matter of fact, I auditioned for a show and I'm trained classically, well, for about a year. That's how I really trained to really do what I'm doing now, is I took some classical music classes just to kind of build up my stamina and learning breath support and all that. So the show called for somebody to sing classically. And I went in and I sang my song and the guy says, huh, that's interesting. Right. So I'm not sure what that meant. And I say that because it still kind of sticks with me. Like, interesting how? Interesting that sound would come out of this face? Or what do you mean? Because there are plenty of Black divas in the classical music world. So this is not, you know, some newfangled thing. I don't know. Anyway, so it's exhausting going through that. You know, you're typecasted a certain way when they see you. Oh, she can belt. Oh, she can do runs. Oh, she can. Well, maybe I can't. I can belt. I can do runs. I'm just not one of the. I'm not an artist that can. It has to be. I have to really think about it before I can do them. That makes sense to you. Some people are wonderful. I mean, I know a whole bunch of friends of mine who can just hit it like it's no business, like it's nobody's business. And, but that's not me. I mean, the way that I was trained and the way that I sing and the way I do things is not per se what you would want in a gospel singer. It's just not, that's not how I function. So going to Bear, now we're going to talk about Bear. It was funny that I was a little surprised that I even landed that role because I mean, I know gospel music, you know, raised in Baptist church, knew gospel music, but it wasn't something I felt that I could really, perform and really do well in, like, any type of gospel-y kind of thing. And so when God Don't Make No Trash came up, I was like, oh, okay, well, just do my best and keep it moving. But, you know, there's something about that show. There was something about my being in that space in that moment that was supposed to be, so I just let it go. I don't know. It was exhausting trying to continue to be or feel like I had to say to the world, hey, I'm not a threat. I'm just trying to live just like you are. You know, I'm doing auditions. I'm going to work. I'm, you know, raising a kid. I'm living and breathing, and I, you know, I go to the grocery store like everyone. I mean, we Black folks just want to live peacefully. I mean, when you are raised in a culture, in a world where our existence, or where your existence initially, and I'm not saying once we got here, our existence was not even human. We were considered property, like cattle or that. And that is still, seems to be still ingrained in some people's psyche. I'm not saying everyone's, I'm just saying some white folks. Mm-hmm. It's ingrained in their psyche. they're still struggling with that whole thing. I'm not saying that I know nobody around who's living today was present then, but there are certain things that you can pass down and you can pass down and you can pass down. By what you tell your children, by how you treat other people. That's how you pass that crap down. Just like I said before, it's exhausting. It's exhausting.
And Stephanie, one of the things that you were communicating to me last time we talked is when you were going into how tired you were, and you had this fire in you that I had never seen before. You were on fire, and you were like, I am so tired. And what I heard in your voice is, I'm not pretending anymore. I've refused to wear the mask anymore. And you were telling me stories about how you get called in for like the same kind of roles over and over again. And I just was wondering if you could speak a little bit to that, because I remember you telling me, and it was so, it just shook my core of like, there's just other characters I want to play. I need to play. The artist in me needs to play these other kind of characters, and the opportunities aren't there. The roles aren't there. So could you speak to that a little bit and just tell us, you were telling me some stories about getting called for, you know, the kind of things, and I'll just let you take it from here.
Right. Well, most calls I usually get, it depends on who I'm talking about. Most roles are for like sassy, the sassy Black woman.
Yep.
And Chantel, Mr. Chantel, is quite the sassy woman, but her message is so profound and so what's needed that that role in particular didn't bother me. It doesn't bother me because I understand her purpose in the show. Now I'm going to tell a little secret. Didn't understand it at the time, but I get it now. You know what I'm saying? Like I didn't quite get it until it was like maybe it was years later after we'd done the show. A couple of years after we finished doing the first production that I finally get it, that she is the heart. She's the heart chakra of that, if you want to say it that way.
That's all we talk about here.
that's our language.
Okay. She is the heart chakra of that show. And that one particular line that Kristen and I love so much that she says to Peter, nobody has all the answers. Remember the message well. If you hide from yourself, be someone else for someone else's sake, that would be the greatest mistake. And let me tell you, when you're talking about authenticity, I mean, that just hits home to me. Every time I hear the song, every time I have to sing it, I'm like, that is it. You cannot worry about what other people think of you or what they think you are, because that's not your lane. You know what I mean? That is not your lane. You know who you are. And if you start speaking your truth, which is what I had to do, if you start speaking your truth and really reveal your authentic self, then the good stuff will follow. You have to, of course, clear some things out before the good stuff can come in. But if you can just get to that moment, and I didn't even think I could ever get there, but talking with you the other day, that was, I guess that was my moment. But I usually get called for a sassy Black woman, or I had a couple of years ago, I had somebody ask me if I wanted to play a maid in a new musical they were working on. And now that is not to take away from my Black goes past, because I understand that, but there are so many more things now a days that I want to do in regards to performing. And the days of playing, a maid or the angry Black woman or any of that is not something that I choose to do. Full stop.
Yeah.
There are stories that still need to be told, absolutely. And I actually, the only other, there was one show that I talked with you about that I would love to see as a musical, but there's more to her story. Just like there's more to any Black person that you see on the street. There's more to their story than what you are seeing.
Yes.
And I would like to get in a place where I can explore different things other than just being one of those tropes, you know?
Yes.
I would like to do a romantic lead. I mean, there's things that, you know, I wouldn't normally be placed in that spot. And now there should be room for that. Not just for my face, but, you know, for someone else that is like me. So that they can see, yes, there's someone like me up there. And the frustration about that, you know, because I've been wavering back and forth. Do I still want to be in this industry? Do I still want to do this? Is this worth my time? Because I don't feel like people, when I go on casting things, they don't see me. And now that I'm really at the point where I'm like, you know what? Well, I'm just going to come in there just as I am. And I'm not going to pretend to be anything other than, or put on any kind of mask. It's really going to ring true. I'm going to be very careful about the things that I go and audition for. I was talking to a friend a couple of nights ago, and we were both like, listen, once it's not so huge, a change or whatever, it doesn't matter, because I know, and my friend was telling me she knows, that from this point on, we really are going to hold people accountable for how we are treated when we are doing what we love to do. You know, everybody's claiming to have all these statements that they are going to do this. I want to make sure that you are actually going to do that. And if you're not, I have receipts. You know, like, you said that you were going to do this. You said that you were going to work on, you know, equality in the workspace or in this artistic environment. Diversity is great, but it's not the same as being inclusive or having equality in that workplace. Because, you know, this has happened to me many times before. I've been hired on a production and I've been maybe one of two Black people in the cast. And none across the table in the creatives or in, you know, in the executive positions. Yes, that is diversity, but that's not really equality. So moving forward, I would like to see more of that happening everywhere, not just hiring more Black folks in your shows, but, you know, what about your creatives? You know, costume designers, set designers, lighting. I mean, we're everywhere. And we ain't going nowhere. So that's one of the things that moving forward, I'm going to be very careful about what I audition for. If it doesn't ring true to me, I'm not going to be doing, I'll just go ahead and go and see what happens. I'm not doing that anymore. So, yeah, it's just that. And then the microaggressions about your hair and not having people who are part of your crew who don't know how to take care, who don't know how to style black hair. Like, why is this still a thing? That just blows my mind. You have hairstylists that have been doing this for years and do not know how to do a black person's hair. They hired you to work the cast, and you don't know what to do with our hair. So we end up doing the most, we end up, the actor ends up having to tend to their hair.
Mm. Yes. Yes.
And that's not just in, that's not just on stage. That's in film.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy to me.
I believe it was DeWanda Wise who was just recently interviewed talking about exactly this issue, even on her show. And
isn't that something?
Yeah.
It's frustrating as hell. I mean, the last thing that I really want to worry about when I go on a set is, and this is one of those things where you go on a set and you're like, oh, well, my guess is they probably have somebody there that doesn't know what to do with my hair. So let me see if I got a wig, or let me see if I can do this, or, I know, Kristen, and then don't know how to do our makeup.
Yes. So I can even, you know, I'm just imagining that feeling of going to set and you're like, here I go again. And they're probably not going to have the right skin tone makeup for me or know how to do my hair. And so I'm alone again and other people don't have to deal with that. And no one's thinking exactly. of the fact that I don't have to deal with that.
And I just want to show up and do my work. I just want to show up and do my work.
I want to show up and do my work and not have to think in the back of my head, oh, well, let me bring a couple of wigs because they may not know what's going on. And let me bring my own makeup and my own foundation or whatever, because I know they're not going to have that at hand. It's, you know, actually, there are a few models in the fashion industry that talked about that. A few black models that were like, well, we just do our own because nobody knew how to do ours. Like, so they're doing their, they're having to deal with doing their own makeup, usually doing their own hair, and then getting, you know, the clothes ready or putting them on. And that's just not right. It's not right. If you're in the industry, I'm a makeup artist and hairstylist. If you are a working person in this industry, it would behoove you to know how to do makeup on any shade. It doesn't make any sense to me. And then the girls that I know that are makeup artists and hairstylists, they know how to do white people's hair. They know how to do their makeup.
Right. Yep.
I'm tired of that normal. Yeah. So when we're going back to normal, and somebody was saying, well, when things get back to normal, I'm like, I don't want that normal anymore.
Mm-mm. As I'm being so present to listening to you, Stephanie, what I'm so aware of in listening is how much additional thought and energy has to be put into things that are just ludicrous to have to put time and energy and thought into, from leaving your house to booking a job to singing to getting your hair done. Every single thing is like an additional five steps just to be alive.
But again, this was our normal. This was, and this is not just for black women. This is black guys too. This is black men too. In the industry, they've got to, they have to put on a mask and present themselves a certain way. And they've had to be articulate and they've had to, you know, present themselves in a way that wouldn't be, and I'm putting it in air quotes and nobody can see me, but non-threatening. It's garbage.
Garbage.
And what feels vastly inhumane about that, to be honest, is you have to put on that mask, but then you're going to be asked to play a character that doesn't wear that mask. That's the exact opposite of that.
Right, right. So you're in these spaces and you're doing these auditions and they tell you, can you be a little more urban? I'm sorry, what? So now you're telling me that I'm not Black enough for you. Is that what you're trying to say to me? Because that's what I'm getting from that. I never, ever want to hear that again. I need you to be more street, urban. What? I went to private school. I went to private Catholic school. Hello, and clearly I'm a Black person. I mean, you can see that. So I am what I am. This is a Black person. You see in me, I am a Black person. I am Black. I can't get any Blacker. So when you're asking me to be more Black, that is the most ludicrous thing I have ever heard. This is it. I'm Black. Hello.
And then, Stephanie, bringing that into the personal space, you also talked to me about conversations that you had to have with your son that just turned my stomach. And I know it's personal, but would you mind sharing just a little bit on that?
Well, as he got older, when he was little, it wasn't such a big deal. But as he got older, I had to have the talk with him. And when most people think of the talk, they think of the sex talk, but that's not what this is. This was what you need to say and do if you ever get stopped by a policeman. And I think this was... I think he was in junior high, maybe, when I had to have this talk. I just felt that it was necessary to do that. And he wasn't exactly sure why I was having this discussion with him. And I had to explain to him that in this world, you are going to be perceived in a negative fashion simply because of who you are. Now, that being said, my son is not as dark as I am. He is mixed. But if somebody looked at him, he's definitely got some Black in him. And he's also very tall, and he's a big guy. He's not short. So just looking at him, people are going to perceive him in a certain light. And for those folks that don't know my son is like, he's so not, he's really just the chillest person. Like, he's so chill. I talk about blessings and love. I mean, blessings came when I had this kid, because he really is just a very even keeled person. And he was like that from the very beginning. And so when I was explaining it to him and I was telling him what was going on, and I could just see it click in his head. Like, he got it. And then his face changed, and it just, it just broke my heart, because he was like, well, why would anybody think that? I'm not like that. I said, I know, sweetheart, I know you're not, but people are going to see you in a certain way. And he just didn't understand it. And he kept asking, well, why? I said, I don't know, but that's just the way the world is right now. People see other people like you and like me, and they feel some sort of negative reaction for some reason, simply because of the color of our skin, the texture of our hair, you know, who we are. He's like, but they don't even know us. I said, I know that, but that's just how it is. And I want you to be safe as you're, you know, going to school and coming home. And I just, you know, if I ever have grandkids, I never want to have a talk with them about that. I never want my son to have to sit down with his kids and give the same speech. Like, why do we have to do that? And it's, and that young man that just, yes, last yesterday or the day before yesterday that was shot, I mean, because he was, like, I don't understand that. I still don't understand that. And all of the rest of the senseless violence against Black bodies, when most of those folks, I go back to Philando Castile, because that one really just shook me to the core. He had his entire family in the car with him. And he told the police officers that he did have a weapon, but he had registration. And when he reached for the paperwork, they shot him with his baby in the back seat. Like, that one just shook me to the core. His girlfriend's right by his side. I just like, no regard for a human life. It's like, none. I don't understand it. I try to wrap my brain around that and try to figure out. I mean, I you can't. There's nothing that he did wrong. He told them he was going to, I don't know if he asked to reach for it, but regardless, I mean, what? I'm just really tired of living in a world where I have to make excuses and put masks on to be who I am. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of being perceived a certain way. I mean, and everybody has their, I mean, everybody in the world is like that. There are certain things about people that they get tired of it. But at this moment, I'm just really tired of people perceiving me to be one thing when I'm really not that. And I don't want to put that out in the world anymore. I don't want to have to wake up in the morning and think, oh, okay, well, I have to put on this so that I can be safe getting to and from wherever I need to go. It's not right. And then have to tell your kids, well, here's how you have to be, you know, when you're, I mean, this was even in school. You know, going to school, not necessarily college, but I mean, there were some microaggressions in college, but like elementary school, you know, I don't think I told you this one. I was in the Brownies when I was a kid, and I went to this elementary school that, I mean, same group of kids from second grade to eighth grade. So we knew each other well. And in elementary school, we were in the Brownies and we were setting up for a garage sale to raise money for our troop. And it was going to be at the home of one of the Brownie leaders' houses. And mind you, this is in LA. So if folks are listening, this is an LA thing. And so, we got everything ready. There were three of us that were Black, one Asian girl, and then the rest were white girls. And at the home of this lady, she did not allow my mother or the two other mothers of the other Black girls that were in the troop to go into her home to use the restroom. She's like, well, there's a gas station down the street.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Meanwhile, the other moms are traipsing in and out of her house. Yeah.
Oh yeah. My God.
I didn't tell you that one. Yeah, it's, yep.
That will stay with you your entire life and make an indelible impression on a young
girl. Yeah, that really, well, my mom is so amazing about how she just lets it, like, child, that's her problem, not mine. But she did address it in her own way, in her own fashion, I must say. She was brilliant. But, yeah,
what did
my
she
mom
say?
Has a way with words.
Can I ask what she said?
I don't, you know what? I don't remember, but the lady was definitely gobsmacked at her reply. And it wasn't, you know, my mom is not one of those cuss you out kind of, my mom is once she, my son are, they're like real chill. She just tell you how it is and keep it moving. I mean, that's her thing. She's very much, well, no, Chantel shouts, but, she's very point blank about certain things. And so whatever she needed to handle, she handled that. And then she was like, Stephanie, we're going. Just go ahead and go to the car. I'm going to talk to her and I will, because I don't know what was said. I'm going to talk to her and then we'll go. So I just got in the car. And then last thing I saw was the lady standing there with her mouth dropped open. And I was like, but I mean, hey, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But it's little things like that. It's little things like that. And then in eighth grade, so a lot of new kids kind of came in during middle school. Like I said before, a lot of us had been in the same classes together from second to eighth grade. So around seventh or eighth grade, probably eighth grade, we started getting some new folks in. And one girl in particular was new, and I befriended her, and I thought, you know, she's really cool, real chill, little white girl. And she was really nice and all that, and close to the time we were well, you know, eighth grade is hard as it is, and that's the time when, you know, there are lines drawn. I don't know why it is around that time, but, you know, different groups start to form that weren't there before in elementary school. And so there was a clear line drawn from white and other. And, but the black folks and the people of color were not aware of this line. And we found out that this new girl that I had been really, I thought I was really good friends with, ended up having a party. And she didn't invite anyone of color to this party. And none of the rest of the kids told or said anything about it. We just happened to find out about it. I don't even know. One of the black girls found out about it for some, I don't know. It was weird. But yeah, she didn't invite anyone of color. That blew me away. Now, when you think, because all these other kids I was friends with, I was at Brownies with, we were in choir together. I mean, this is not, you know, like a new thing. And then the new girl comes in and she's like, oh, well, I'm, you know, I'm having a party and, you know, don't tell them. And then she tried to deny it. But then we talked to other folks and like, yeah, she had a party. Yeah, that's that kind of stuff.
So gross.
I mean, it's gross.
It's
and,
gross.
You know, my feelings were hurt back then, but now I think about it, I'm like, you know what? It's probably better that she showed herself, you know? What a horrible and disgusting way to show yourself, but, you know, there it is. There it is.
Stephanie, it's so just important to hear because, you know, even in our preamble, we say, you know, create is for community, but really understanding that not everyone has had the same access to community and not everyone has been able to have the same outcome and safety. And that's right. Really important for us us, Kristen and I, us as a community, us as a world, to get really present to that it has not, that each, probably every single person has 100 of those stories, and that's just not okay.
I know you're thinking like, why would anybody do that? That's my thought. It's like, why would you do that? Like, why? Well, I mean, I know that's probably going through your mind, Natalie and Kristen, that's not your MO. I mean, that's not how you operate. You're like, whoever comes, comes. I mean, you know, I invite everybody. But, you know, there are people in this world that for some reason or another, however, if it was, you know, taught to them or they've had experiences where they feel that all, you know, all of this group fits into this group and I'm not going to, you know, deal with that group. I don't know. Oh my goodness. It just has to get better.
It has to get better.
It has to get better.
And I think just thank you for being brave and coming on and talking from your heart, because I think the only way that together collectively we learn is by through people telling their stories and telling their stories honestly. Because I keep seeing it in my head. It's like we all just want to play, right? We all just want to play together. We want to celebrate life together. We want to make art together. But we can't really play unless everyone's free to play. And so it's right. Then it's like we need to hear what's going on for everybody on the playground. Like, what is it not safe to play over there? How come it hasn't been safe to play over there? Then we all have to know so we can make a safe playground for everybody, right?
Right.
Because we all just want to enjoy the fact that we're here on this planet and that we have dreams we want to make and. But because we are all one, if one person is in suffering, then we're all in suffering. And so, you know, I just feel like, I think the thing that's been insane is that there was this blanket over especially the States, but like where we accepted something that was unacceptable. Mm-hmm. And right. It had gotten normalized to a place.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Right? We're like, oh yeah, well, the world's unjust. Life's unjust. We're all moving through injustice. And we have gotten numb to injustice. And that is what is horrifying, is that we had numbed ourselves to injustice. And I think what's happening right now at this moment in time we're all collectively saying, what the fuck? No.
You're seeing it, but you're actually seeing it. What we have been saying for years, the Black folks have been saying for years is there's a set of standards and procedures for white folks that does not match what's going on for Black folks.
Yes.
And, you know, white folks were like, oh, you know, you're being too sensitive. That's not what's really happening. You know, and then we start showing you, this is what's going on. This is what's happening. Oh, but because, oh, well, he's got a record and he should have just complied. Well, Philando, he complied. He's dead. Oh, well, he has a criminal history. I don't care if he has a criminal history. You don't put your knee on somebody's neck. That's got nothing to do with it. Excuse after excuse after excuse. And I keep going back to microaggressions in the workplace because it just gets on my nerves. I don't understand why white folks can't understand that our hair grows differently out of our head than it does, than yours does. Period. Full stop. Mm-hmm. So how we style our hair should not matter as far as business is concerned, as far as how we conduct ourselves in the business. If you are so focused on what's going on at the top of our head, then why are you even in business? Mm-hmm. That's a control thing. You can't control it. It is what it is. My hair reaches up to the sky. That's how it grows.
Mm-hmm.
And I braid it. And, you know, there's history behind braiding and how and why it is the way it is. Why we cornrow. There are different patterns. There's a reason why. Everything has a reason. But for that to be such a big deal in a workplace, like if I showed up with an Afro puff in my head in a corporate world, they'd be like, well, you need to do something with your hair. There's nothing wrong with my hair.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing wrong with my hair. It is neat. It is tidy. It's an Afro puff. I'm not understanding what the problem is.
Yes.
I can do my job. That I don't know why I keep nitpicking that, but that just drives me crazy. That just drives me crazy.
Well, that just seems like that's like a very clear, obvious, ridiculous example of the whole. Like that's
right.
that is representative of the whole ridiculousness that saying based on color, based on skin, this is deemed human and this is deemed not human. It's just absolutely insanity. It's insanity. And so even something like hair is pointing to the absurdity. And what's more absurd is that we actually have a system and a country that is run on a system that supports something that's insane. And that's what is being called to say no more.
Yeah. And I know, I've been watching on Twitter about how a lot of corporations and companies are once again doing their little statements. It's fine to tweet a statement saying that you are going to do, you know, more inclusiveness and equality in your workspace. I mean, in that, and not just there, but, you know, executives and all of that. But it's also another thing to actually really implement it and do it. You can say it all you want to, but I want to see results. I want to see you actually making the effort to do it across the board. Because, you know, we should be in spaces where we aren't. It's helpful to see someone in a position, again, so that people can get some inspiration when they see you. Case in point, the first show that I can remember seeing as a little kid was The Wiz. My mom took me to see The Wiz. I think I'd seen a couple of shows prior to that, but that show will always stick out to me, always. And that is because there were folks with faces just like mine on that stage, and they weren't relegated to just chorus or, you know, line man number one or whatever. When Dorothy, I think it was right after she meets the Scarecrow, and then the first staging that I remember is there was actually not a yellow brick road on the stage. There were four gentlemen dressed in these great looking coats. And they had these staffs, and the quartet would stand in the middle of them, and they would do the number Ease On Down. When I saw black folks on that stage and they were all coming out, like the Munchkins are coming out, I was like, what is this excitement? Look at all these black people. It was so lovely to see. Well, I mean, not that I didn't love Stephanie Mills, because I do, but it was so wonderful to see all these people. When she came to Munchkin Land and they all came out, I was like, this is amazing. She looks like me, and she looks like me, and she looks like me. I mean, it's one of those things where you say to yourself, wait a minute, I could do that. I think I could do that, because I see someone like me doing that, you know? That was pure joy for me. It was like, I think I could do that. And then I finally said to my mom, I said, I think I want to do that. And then my mom was like, you know, single mom can't be taken to audition, sorry. it is important for kids, for even, you know, someone my age, or younger, to see people in different positions so that they can say to themselves, it's not that, not just because of that, but they can say to themselves, yeah, I can do that. I can do that. I can do that. She's doing it. She looks like me, you know? Like Misty Copeland, like when I was a kid, I had a fascination with ballet. Like I love ballerinas. My mom will tell you every year, what cake do you want? Ballerina. That's all I wanted. All I ever wanted. And every year she, bless her heart, every year she would drag out this little, it was like a porcelain ballerina statue that she'd put on the cake. I mean, that's the kind of thing that I wanted. And there weren't, there weren't a lot of Black ballerinas out there that I remember. As a kid, I knew of Alvin Ailey, so I just loved them. But there weren't many Misty Copelands out there where, you know, they were out and, you know, really setting the tone. So it's beautiful to see that. I want kids to be able to see themselves out there. And not just in a negative light, like, you know, see yourselves out there performing and creating and doing and, you know, being a lawyer, being a doctor, being an executive, you know, but I want them to be able to see it and say, yeah, that's what's going on. I mean, not just in entertainment, because there's plenty in entertainment, thank you, but everywhere, like across the board. What if you don't want to do that? Maybe you want to be in animation. Maybe you, you know, in art somewhere. Maybe you want to, you know, be work for a theme park. Maybe you want to, I don't know, just maybe you want to be a filmmaker. Maybe you want to be a director. Maybe you want to be, a photographer. Maybe you want to be, you know, a director of photography, you know, on a show or on a movie. Those are the kinds of things. I just want to see more of us out there, more, just out there and not giving a flying fig what people think, just doing it, you know? And I think because of what's going on, I think that it will take, I'm hoping people understand that this is just the beginning of this journey. And most folks have been trying to grasp the understanding of it for only 2 weeks. Imagine living this.
Yeah.
And how long we've lived this. I mean, Black folks have been living it here on this, in this country for 400 years. The civil rights didn't hit till 1968. So that's 50 and some. Yeah. So that's not a long time. And even with the Civil Rights Amendment that came in, we're still having problems because here we are in 2020 protesting that Black Lives Matter. So obviously we weren't getting the job done. America was not getting the job done because they were so busy going, you know, they were so busy gaslighting Black folks. Like, it's really not that bad. Yeah, it is really bad.
Yeah.
And now we're going to show you how bad it is.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on, for telling your story, for communicating about your experience, for sharing the pain and letting us see the world through your eyes and feel what it's like to be inside of you. And I love your Wiz story of just feeling you as a little girl and hearing that joy that you felt when you saw others that were like you. And everything in my heart just wants to give, like, every little girl and every little boy that feeling of, like, hope of, I can do anything.
Anything.
And I, I can do anything and I can be safe in this world.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for moving forward is that everyone gets that hope. Non-gendered, gay, straight, black. I want them to be seen, to be heard, and I don't know how. I mean, through the arts, of course. But it just breaks my heart to see that people just aren't seen for who they are, and that they feel like there's something wrong with them when there isn't. There's nothing wrong.
I mean, I feel like that is like the thing, if I could say one thing to every human being, I just like want to like hug them and look at them and go, you were made perfectly. When you came on this planet, you are worthy and whole and beautiful and divine.
And divine. That's the thing, is that you are worthy. And if people could, and I know I said earlier that it really isn't anyone's business, but that person who perceives you a certain way, you don't worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are indeed worthy. You are indeed worthy. There's a reason why you're moving in this space. There's a reason why you are here. There's a reason why this is all going down right now.
Yes.
And that is to start fresh, start anew. And in order for that to happen, we have to spill light on all the ugly, all the negative, you know, all the dark.
Yes.
We have to get rid of that. Well, that's just what I'm hoping from this, is that everybody gets a true understanding of what it's like. I mean, we haven't even hit on, you know, the Latino community and what they're going through, the indigenous community and what they've been through. I mean, we are going to have to shed light on all of it.
Every single bit. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you to everyone who listened to this conversation.
Yes.
Steph, thank you so much.
Natalie, thank you.
So nice to meet you. Thank you so much for your beautiful sharing.
Thank you.
I feel like we are all in this work together, and I love you so much. I love you. I love you.
I love you too. You're the best.
You're the best.
Thank you so much for listening. We love to feel like we have friends all over the world in you who are committed to doing their dream on the planet.
Like this podcast and you want to find out more about what we're doing or who we are, our pop-up classes, our online classes, you can check all of that out at thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to be part of our Facebook community, you can go to the Create Community page. That's C.R.E.A.T. Community.
And if you loved this podcast, why not share it with a friend?